We have Kat Sullivan on the line now with more. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Kat. You feel
like, welcome back to the Twilight Zone.
You're in the Twilight Zone. I'm fine. We just spoke with Times Union investigative reporter Chris Bragg about your case. I'm wondering if you have heard from Jay Cope over the weekend or since last Tuesday when the commission met.
I'm so glad you asked. The answer is no. Despite multiple attempts and written correspondences and emails, Jay Cope has not responded to my attorney or myself, obviously through my attorney. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know if they've opened an investigation, which by law, they're required to notify us. So we're waiting.
So Jay Cope has yet to notify you that it has opened up a substantial basis investigation. And you believe that they need to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the law. My attorney told me that they, by law, have to notify us. So when we didn't hear anything from them, like, the next day, we reached out in writing to be proactive, and we're still waiting for a response.
Now, according to Bragg, Jay Cope has a different reading of the rules. Jay Cope says it does not have to notify you that you're the subject of an investigation until 30 days before a hearing is held. That sounds different from what your understanding is.
Well, I'll defer to my attorney who used to manage Jay Cope, I believe.
David Grandow did used to be the head of the Temporary Commission on Lobbying. Yes.
Yeah, so I think he might know. But basically, they're just making up the rules and as they go, and they're making up the definition of lobbying, and they do everything in this back room, closed hearings, and so you don't know what they're doing.
They go into executive session.
Yeah, but then there's no notification. So what we do know is that they've been harassing known business associates of mine. So that's an indication that potentially they are proceeding with an investigation. But my ads weren't lobbying, so I welcome them to do that.
Jay Cope's pursuit of you has been happening since 2018. I know that recently you have only spoken with the commission through your attorney. When was the last time you spoke informally to Jay Cope? And why did you stop doing that? What happened?
Gosh, my memory of time is not great, but it's been at least a couple months. Basically, I had enough. They, you know, they chase you in circles. They don't answer questions. We have proof of that. I can forward to you in emails where we ask them a simple yes or no question, and they respond with form letter. And so when I saw that cycle, I mean, I'm a registered nurse. I worked psych. This is a passive-aggressive, fatiguing tactic, and it's a rogue agency out of control. So what do you do? And that's when I enlisted the help of another professional, a second lawyer with a strong background in dealing with Jay Cope.
So what we're going to do is take a break, Kat. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your intention to file a lawsuit against Jay Cope. Kat Sullivan is my guest. We'll be right back.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
My guest today is Kat Sullivan, and she was raped as a student at Emma Willard School. The school settled with her. She became an activist on the Child Victims Act. Since then, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics have been pursuing Kat because they consider her a lobbyist. So your intention is to file a lawsuit against Jay Cope. What is the basis of that lawsuit, Kat?
There will be multiple lawsuits filed against Jay Cope, but the one that I can explain to you because I'm letting lawyers handle the rest of it. It's an article. Is it a 78?
Article 78.
Get it? Okay. basically, it will force them to disclose all of the secret stuff they've been doing that they won't disclose to us. So they will have to then show their cards, and we will be able to ask Michael K. Rosin if he's recused himself, and maybe this time get an answer.
When will you be filing an Article 78 lawsuit?
Oh, wow. It should be any day now, quite honestly. I know the paperwork was started last week.
And this is not under the watchful eye of David Grandow. This is a different attorney?
Correct. Yeah. So lawyers specialize similar to the way doctors do. And so it's a different attorney. And he's also representing me pro bono. I can't tell you like how grateful I am for this. And it also affirms that I'm doing the right thing and Jacob is not. And people are willing to help make sure that the right thing is done here, which is stopping Jacob from harassing me and ending this.
So under the rules of Jacob, there are certain points at which they have to contact you or make announcements, you know, 60 days after this, 45 days after this. Do you know when the next time is that you must hear from Jacob?
I honestly don't. I mean, obviously the tremendous stress, I just kind of defer to the attorney at this point to let me know like what our next milestone is, because the whole thing is just a big ball of stress. I'm like, tell me when I need to know something.
Yeah, you've said that a lot of times. You've actually said that this is like another rape. So I'm wondering, why continue this? I mean, if you, let's say you technically violated lobbying law by exceeding the $5,000 limit and not registering as a lobbyist, whether or not you think it's right or wrong, why not just settle?
Because this is wrong. I mean, this is an ethical dilemma. And what they're doing is very clear to me, and it's very clear to lots of other people. You know, I've been contacted by UCLA Law School because they're assisting, because people don't believe that this is the right thing, including elected officials who elected Jacob into existence. They're saying that this is not the way that it's supposed to be acting. And you know what? I have a right to participate in the process of creating laws, and I advocated as a survivor with no benefit of a law, as a legacy for myself, and a legacy for the younger children and the generation. So for me, I'm not going to kick this fight down the road. Like, I'm going to take care of this, and people are going to be able to, when they are harmed by unjust laws and criminal people, that they will have access to justice and legal recourse. And that's what I did, and I'm being punished for it. And if that is New York's definition of lobbying, then I think they need a new one.
They may, in fact, take up a new definition of lobbying come this this session because of what's going on with you. In the meantime, you are focusing your frustration in other ways. You have a play in New York City. What kind of play, and why? Why did you decide to write a play?
Yeah, I'm actually calling you from New York City right now. We had our first rehearsal. The play will be in October. We're behind on everything. Like, Jacob has really altered our timetable. But I wanted to use a free write from therapy, and I'm really using art to help me process my feelings and to be helpful and to create something that is beautiful as well, because I think that so often the stigma of being a survivor limits people's ability to see who you are. And so this play is a flash mob play where it's legend of survivor who becomes a hero through empathy, compassion, and other people helping. It's a beautiful play for adults and children.
What's it called and where?
It's actually called The Enlightenment Machine Number 1. Our website is catlabs.org, catlabs.org. Our hashtag is Survivor Ovation, and we are hoping it's October 10th. We were late in filing for permits, so we're hoping it's going to be October 10th, and we are looking at Union Square Park.
So I have a question for you, Kat. One of the major distinctions that lawmakers and others are making between what you have done and traditional lobbyists who do this for a living and make money from it is that you have not made any money from lobbying. You don't lobby on other issues. This is a single issue thing, and you have a personal stake in it because you were raped as a child. If you make money from this play, will that change the dynamic?
If any of the Olympic athletes make money talking about what happened to them, is that lobbying? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, at what point does my freedom of speech and freedom of expression and use of art to discuss what happened to me, which, yes, involves really bad laws in New York that they had to change. I think that you've got a bigger problem if that then is now being defined as lobbying. But Jacob is making up what they are calling lobbying, so I wouldn't be surprised.
So what's your next step?
My next step is to just make sure that I'm taking enough personal days to manage the stress. And we're getting like real basic now. You know what I mean? Like, this is about my health. This is about my ability and my autonomy to control what's happening to me. And so I'm going to trust the lawyers that I have. They're amazing. And then I'm just going to focus on my art and focus on the play, because this really should be something that I'm hoping is a gift for organizations to use in educating people about how to help survivors and giving survivors like a fictional role model to be able to see that they can transcend their injury and what happened to them, and they can be whoever they want to, and no one can stop them.
So Kat, you know, the legislative session is going to begin in January, and there will be other issues that perhaps people who have personal who they've experienced certain things and they want to do what you did. Would you tell them not to get active, not to spend money on their particular law?
Absolutely not. I would not make that recommendation. I can't make any legal recommendations, obviously, but if it is in with your heart and you are volunteering your time, go and do. Go and do, and do not let anyone stop you, because that's not lobbying. It's not lobbying. A dollar amount spent on something is not the definition of lobbying, certainly not federally. And if that's what it is in New York, it's wrong. You should be able to express yourself.
Let me give out your information again. This is a play. It's called
The Enlightenment Machine Number One.
Enlightenment Machine Number One. For more information, you can go to catlabs.org. Kat Sullivan is a rape survivor and activist who has found herself in the crosshairs of the Joint Commission on Public Ethics for lobbying, they say, on the Child Victims Act. Kat, it's great to speak with you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for joining us. Our producer has been Tim Williams.
Howdy.
Our engineer, Dave White. I'm Susan Arbetter. You've been listening to The Capitol Press Room.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.